Yo, yo, welcome to Highway Diary, episode 88, with my main man, Anthony Greeno.
We're in a car, so it's more apropos than usual.
You know, maybe we'll take this on the field a little bit. We're about to go golfing. A little chip and putt in Los Feliz.
It's good. It works your core.
How many times a week have you been coming here, you know?
Anywhere from, like, 1 to 14.
Yeah. You seem to be haunted by the golf swing, and like you have a lot of nightmares, residual nightmares of how to correct it, and like, oh, you told me one morning, like, hey, I got it all figured out now. I'm changing everything.
Yeah, it's a quest, and I think it's the swing has become a secret metaphor for like the deepest parts of my psyche. So in an attempt to correct myself, I've tried to master the physical art of the golf swing and
how's it going?
I encounter a lot of the same problems.
Like, do you see your golf swing manifesting in your life all the time? You know, what do you mean?
Yeah, sometimes if I get into a fight with my wife, I'll notice that I'm not actually following through with my wrist.
You're slicing to the left, yeah. Right, or mm-hmm. Left, yeah.
And then sometimes
what's it like to putt from the rough with your wife, you know?
No. Wait a minute. Is that innuendo?
You couldn't do that in New York, right? So you just moved to Los Angeles, and now all of a sudden, golf just exploded in your life. Did you ever play golf before?
Yeah, sometimes. Not really. Never really on a course. Yeah, sometimes I go to... There's not really any place to play in New York, you know?
You can only do, like, frisbee golf if you go to Bushwick. And that's kind of bullshit.
Frisbee golf is,
it's actually super fun.
I don't like frisbees, and I don't like people who play with frisbees, like, per se.
Really?
I think it's, like, it's a pretty, like...
Just low-level instrument of...
It's just it's, like, very much an indicator of someone's kind of demeanor in class in a way that is not compatible with the kind of things I like to do. I like museums. I like drinking sparkling wine. I like renting wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And going for strolls.
And playing golf in order to correct things in your mind. So it seems like you're really into this idea of, you know, the sport you play, the habits you are, directly impact your real life and your psyche, and
yeah.
You know what
and
I mean?
And vice versa, yeah.
Wow.
So if you're a frisbee golf aficionado, mm-hmm. You're going to find that in your everyday life, a lot of the time, sometimes maybe you'll be tilted the wrong way or be rotating at a speed that's uncomfortable for where you're going, you know, metaphorically.
Rotating?
Yeah, like a disc, you know.
You know what I found out recently?
You have both male and female genitalia?
Yeah, man, I can fuck myself.
Nice.
I heard this weird
thing. You're secretly Jewish?
No. That rumor keeps coming out just in my accent, just because I think, you know, I have a Jersey accent that leans a little Jew side. But
you have like a very mysterious accent.
What do you mean?
It's just very mysterious, you know. It's like kind of like part.
It comes
it's
and
like
goes.
Part like Woody Allen-y, Long Island-y, but kind of, you know, it's got a very specific timber with a BRE, and it's. Yeah.
What sports do you think I play based on my accent, you know?
I'd say like co-ed softball, like a shoe toss, like just see how far you can toss.
Horseshoes. Oh, I yeah.
Not a horseshoe, real shoes.
Oh, it's people's just, shoes just steal
just
them?
Distance. No.
Oh, okay. Like when you see them on the foam cords.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like a laid back but still slightly competitive toboggan race on foam, like shaving cream and whipped cream and Cool Whip, whatever's available.
Like a Nickelodeon show.
Sure, yeah. Sort of like
downhill, but they would just put shaving cream on an entire hillside and then you're sledding down that in the summer. That's wacky.
And you get, like, maybe someone who gets gacked often as a sport competitively. Like a hot dog eating contest, except, like, how many times can you be gacked?
Speaking of hot dog eating contest, someone died. Not everyone gets to Coney Island. You know, there's local shows for the hot dog eating contest, and they all happen on July 4th. Everyone's trying to put big numbers in Kansas City, down to Memphis, Tennessee. You know, they're having these more local things. Big guys again. Nathan sponsored at the Coney Island, which I've been to. That is a crazy spectacle. But some guy in Kansas at a regional show died consuming like 20 hot dogs. So, you know, really? That's a very...
20? That's not even... Not even that.
He's not even putting Kobayashi numbers. 60 hot dogs, you know? It's just the most disgusting.
That really happened?
Yeah.
Jeez. Did he die, like, did he, like, choke to death, or did he, like, have, like, a heart
attack? I think he was, I think he was excited. He had a heart attack. I mean, if you choke and start to gag a little bit, you can get nervous, which could induce a heart attack if you've been training, especially eating, you know, hundreds of hot dogs a week in preparation. So it's probably not good on the old system, you know?
I'm sure this topic's been broached by, like, numerous times by several people. Maybe even myself. Maybe even on your podcast previously. But can you imagine the... how gross your shits would be after eating like 60 hot dogs in a row.
There is no roughage whatsoever. You're not eating one vegetable in that. So it's just going to become, it's going to be a reluctant shit for sure.
I don't think it would be that reluctant. I think it would be pretty.
Oh, you think it would be explosive? Well, I just think the fiber is not, there's not a lot of fiber to move it along. So it's going to be hard, dehydrated
just
poo.
Just the pure like, but they dip the buns in water. So they're getting hydration, you know?
Yeah, I know. But it's like wheat that doesn't just go through. You know, they're not even using, like, whole grain wheat, which it would have a little fiber to help the poo process, you know? I don't know. I don't know a lot of poo physics. I'm just kind of guessing here.
It'd be worth it to a study.
Yeah, who's...
You know how the NFL is, like, had this, like, lawsuit of all these players who have had concussion, like, mm-hmm. post-concussion, like, damages and stuff, you know? It'd be cool if, like, in, like, 30 years, like, you know, hot dog eating, like, contestants sued, like, Nathan's and stuff for damages.
For bowel damages.
I don't think anybody would really be, like, feel too sorry for them, though.
I've had a lot of anal fissures, and I have to lay in oatmeal baths twice a week. My life is hell. Nathan's hot dog contest, yeah, sure, you go for the glory. You try to, you know, get a lot of babes after you shove 40 hot dogs in your face.
That's how most hot dog... eating contestants die. It's not like sodium intake or heart problems or even like gagging. It's like all the sex you get after babes are just throwing themselves at you, or dudes if you're a female competitive eater. So like most of them die of sexually transmitted diseases or just like die of oversexing.
Yeah, they were just so drained of fluid they just didn't have anything else. They just got dehydrated, you know.
Your prostate pops like a water balloon. Just exposure.
So now you also, ride around and bike, you know, they can take the Anthony Guarino out of Brooklyn. They can't take Brooklyn out of Anthony Guarino. You're going around in a bicycle around, you know?
I like bicycling around Los Angeles. It's, you know, it's doable. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I like being on a bike. I like to, I tap into like, you know, thoughts. I think. The thinking time for me.
So you don't listen to any music, you're just feeling the street, you're just getting there?
Sometimes I'll sing to myself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What kind of songs?
Mostly Coldplay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a badass. Wait, you just start that?
Early stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'll just work my way through the catalog.
You know them all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, sometimes Yentl.
What's that?
Yentl, the musical. Barbra Streisand.
Please do.
It's most of it's atonal. It's kind of,
just making noises. Yeah. Like a Yoko Ono record.
Uh-huh.
It was Barbra Streisand's experimental stuff, you know?
So I mostly use my bike bell and kind of the...
Yeah. She was getting fingered by a hippie at the time. She had mushrooms one time, and then her music got real experimental. So...
I don't want to think about Barbra Streisand being fingered by a hippie.
Yeah, this was back in the day, you know?
Oh, okay. It's a young hippie.
She had a year or two where, you know, she was decently attractive. People put her in that discussion.
I was thinking of an aging hippie and an aging Barbra Streisand, but I guess Barbra Streisand in her prime being fingered by a young hippie isn't that bad.
I'm talking the 70s. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
What's up?
You have to get a Canadian work visa because you got married. And Natalia has to get a work visa, and then you had to also interview to make sure at the state house, right, to make sure that it was a legitimate marriage.
Haven't done that yet.
Oh, you haven't done that yet?
It's like in a few weeks.
Yeah. What's that interview process going to be like? They have to.
I don't know exactly. It's just like ask you basic questions and stuff.
Yeah. If you start looking at YouTube videos. Then it's like, oh, we recommend these ones. Oh, we recommend these ones. Oh, we, you know, have you ever gone down and what do you like? What's the dark recesses of YouTube that you've checked out recently?
I had a good one about, like, animals fucking a while back, where, so, like, giraffes fucking. Oh, I put, kind of, no, it wasn't really a YouTube hole, it was a Wikipedia hole about monkeys, because I fucking, I saw the new Planet of the Apes movie, which was actually fun, you know, it was a good movie, it was a thinking man's movie, a lot of social commentary, so it was good when you can have, like, a monkey riding a horse, firing two machine guns through a wall of fire.
To but really then, open
but,
up.
But you're also, like, commenting on international relations and, you know, nature of the human spirit. Fucking... So I was looking up all these kinds of monkeys, and there's this monkey called, like, a bonobo or something that, it's, like, the only animal, like, besides humans that perform, like, face-to-face intercourse, and they, like, French kiss each other with tongues, and they also perform oral sex on each other, and they also scissor, and they also do this thing that I didn't even know existed called frogging, which I guess is, like, practiced among some homosexual males that involves rubbing your penises together. To ejaculation.
I also read, so a couple podcasts back, I made a little bit of a, I went down a YouTube hole, okay, and I started looking into this one thing.
The financial crisis in Europe saw Germany decide it wanted to bring home a significant chunk of the precious metal and gold out of the US Federal Reserve.
Und es müsste angesehen werden.
Why we haven't been allowed to inspect this escapes me. I'm no conspiracy theories, but the Bundesbank should be able to audit the gold once a year like it does with the reserves in Frankfurt.
The lack of inspection has led some to question if it's still there.
Even after at least one decade of asking Buber, Bundesbank and the Fed, there is still no shred of evidence that the German gold is untouched in the New York Fed's vaults. We are still missing, for example, published gold bar number lists, even though the US, the Federal Reserve, does publish these lists for their own gold.
Germany has the world's second largest gold reserves worth $141 billion. Currently, 45% of that is stored in New York, 13% in London, 11% in Paris, although the 374 tons in France is set to be all returned to Germany. The rest is in the Bundesbank vaults in Frankfurt. Anyone questioning the safety of the gold reserves have been laughed off as conspiracy theorists by those in charge. They say it's solid financial management.
They asked for all that back, and then we're kind of saying, like, no. So they were like, we don't believe that you have that gold on the docket anymore. And so they asked for it back, and then we raided Ukraine and took all their gold immediately. So I started talking about this stuff, and then I said the price of silver was going to go up this week, and it hasn't. So anyway, keep an eye on it, though. Have you heard any of this stuff?
I didn't hear about that. I heard about that plane that got shot.
Yeah. I think this is a bummer. I think this is all kind of a part of that. I don't know. I think there's a lot of weird financial things going on. What do you think's going on in the Ukraine?
It's a complicated global issue, you know? I got enough on my plate with my golf swing. I can't get
it. Yeah. You've been decidedly, like, very, like, not political. Is it just that you feel like you don't, you know, you can't fix anything? They're going to do what they're going to do, and...
I mean, I have, you know, political views, I guess, but I don't... Such a... You know, a system and stuff. It's, I don't know, I guess just never got. I like to argue with people about politics, really. Unless it's my dad.
Yeah, he gets fired up about it?
Yeah.
What is he? Conservative?
Or? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does he say?
Yeah, just like your general anti-Obama stuff and.
Like what? He's gonna give all the money to the foreigners, and the, he's a Marxist and all that.
Yeah, he's gonna sell all our national monuments to China.
Mm-hmm.
Too scared about that. It's gonna,
just the statues.
Yeah, the Statue of Liberty and stuff, and Mount Rushmore.
So they'll chop it off the mountain and sell it over to them. Or?
Yeah, to China.
To China.
And I was like, but Dad, he's probably not gonna. And then he's like, but maybe they will. And I was like. I guess maybe you're right.
Just the monuments.
Just the monuments.
He's not worried about, like, amusement parks or anything like that.
I mean, it's a concern of his, but he's not as worried as the National Monuments, because that's, like, probably tier two.
Right.
But he's a preservationist in terms of amusement parks. Like, He doesn't believe in roller coaster repair or anything like that. He thinks that stuff should be kept as it was originally.
And just like a little wobbly, like the wooden roller coasters where, it would feel like it's going off the tracks. Mm-hmm. He kind of wants to push that, let it go.
Yeah, and if a roller coaster collapses, and then it's kind of like, like when it's just a star explodes, you know? It's like
a natural rebirth cycle.
Yeah. So we fight about stuff like that.
Seems very political.
Whatever.
Because you just see it as metaphors, like your golf swing. You see, like, that's all you need to know about someone's personality. What kind of sport they're into. Just like you can really judge a country by their amusement parks. You look at their amusement parks. I don't need to know what their fucking politics are. I can tell you what your problem is right here.
Yeah,
you're repairing these roller coasters too much.
I think like stuff in general is like overrated. Like you can pretty much glean anything you need from a culture from either going to an airport or an amusement park.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to the airport in Denver, so I've pretty much seen all of Colorado just because I was in the airport and I got a really good flavor for the people.
Did you take a shit there? I feel like if you're just in the airport, it doesn't count that you were there unless you shit there. Then you're like putting a piece of your earth to back. That's a connection you'll always have with that state that you were in, you know?
I've probably been in maybe 15 or 20 different airports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking about individual visits, just airports
themselves. Are we talking international or are we just talking domestic?
And domestic, both, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 20. And I've probably taken maybe 7 or 8 shits.
Yeah.
In airports, but probably 2 or 3 of those have been in Newark International, so I got a lot of work to do, but I'm young still, hopefully.
How are your shits after hot dogs?
Not good.
How are they, though?
Messy, take a while.
So you think that they're more of a splatter? If you eat a hot dog, you would anticipate a splatter pattern, like a diarrhea?
You learn to expect the unexpected. Yeah. Well, on 4th of July, I had a few too many hot dogs. And to tell you the truth, I still don't feel quite right, you know?
So it's going to be a little painful indigestion, and then a wild card shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it could be, but it's not going to be what you expect and what you'd rather get what you'd expect.
Yeah. It's not going to be like, I had Indian, I know what's coming, you know?
Right.
It's going to be kind of, maybe a little bit then, like a very, and then a lot of wiping.
See, I find when I have Indian and then I'm shitting, I sweat when I'm shitting. I don't know if it's, I feel like curry is like being bled through my pores as I'm shitting, you know? Just with Indian, though. That's a nice treat, you know? That's nice. It feels like you have a little schwitz while you take a shit.
It's good for you. It gets the toxins out.
Here's another conspiracy that I've been checking out. I read, scarily, that LA is running out of water. Have you read any of this stuff? They're saying they have like a year left or 18 months left.
Of water?
Of water.
Then what?
Then they're out of water.
The entire Golden State is experiencing severe drought, and 75% of all land area is under extreme drought. According to a meteorologist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Brad Rippey, at the current usage rate, California has less than 2 years of water remaining. Yes, this is how bad this crisis has become. Nearly every sign now points to a lasting and possible permanent water crisis there. Snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountain range is 70% below normal. Groundwater levels are falling by more than 800 billion gallons a year in the Central Valley. And the federal water allocation for many of the state's farms has been cut to zero for the first time ever.
They can't send it to all the houses anymore, I guess. I don't know.
Everybody's like, bummer.
But watch out for that. I don't know. I was wrong. Silver didn't go up this week. I thought it would based on that thing. So who the fuck knows?
In 18 months, like, people are only going to accept silver as currency and people are going to be like...
Or bear skins.
Bear face?
just the faces of bears will be like coins that you can use. That'll be like $100.
And there's a whole new market for bear face wallets, which are not actually made of bear face, but are large enough to accommodate bear face bills.
And the people that are, like, at the top of the pyramid, like, you know, the bankers all have, like, bare-faced exterior cars. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of, like, sheet metal, they'll just be, like, leather bare face, you know? just as a big status symbol.
You remember that summer when Bareface was huge?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people say later.
I saw, how sweet would that be with a denim jacket with a Bareface on the back?
Be pretty cool.
That would be cool. It would be like, you know, everyone has a lion or whatever, like, stenciled on. How about a real Bareface? What about a lion
face? Barefaces, they're kind of cute, like, a little bit, even though they're a ferocious animal, like, face itself, like...
That's also the problem with a bear. It's got a long snout, so if you had that on the back of your denim jacket, and then you, like, sat at a bar stool with a back on it, you'd have, like, the bear snout would get squished against your back, and it might be uncomfortable. A lion face is a little more flat, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
What's the flattest face of a predator that you can put on the back, so that when you leaned on the back of a bar stool, it wouldn't obstruct you, you know? What's, like, the thinnest face predator?
Maybe, like, shark stretched out.
Or, like, an owl?
Yeah. Like a deadly owl?
Yeah.
You get the beak?
Yeah. Maybe you just have a felt beak. The rest is real.
No.
Feathers would be fun. You'd be losing feathers a lot, though.
Wouldn't be worth it. I just wouldn't sit down.
You have to be on your motorcycle.
I just never sit down, so I wouldn't have to worry about the back of the face touching anything in the back of my denim jacket.
You just sit on bar stools that don't have a back to them.
Yeah. Or flip every chair around and sit, like, you know, forward sitting, like you're going to have a heart-to-heart with everyone.
Yeah. And every conversation you would have would be way more serious because there's an endangered animal face on the back of
you. Yeah, it'd be great.
That raises the stakes of any scene.
It'd be great to, like, go to, like, a fancy restaurant and do the thing where you turn the chair around.
Yeah.
And just spend your whole meal like that. Like, I wonder if they'd tell you to, like, turn it around. You'd have to, like, maybe, like, order something really expensive right away, like, Baba Dem Parmesan, and then switch your chair around and be kind of like...
They wouldn't say shit.
It would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Especially if you just got, like, super on choice. Well, what if the chair had, like, armrests on it, and then you put your feet through the armrests?
Yeah.
Like, they were kind of raised. And like you, like, inserted yourself into it. So that you couldn't even get up easily. You'd have to get up in, like, 30 seconds.
It'd be great to ask for a high chair and sit on it.
And then just be like Goo Goo Gaga, trying to have them treat me like a baby. Treat me like a baby.
Then have your dinner guests feed you.
You know, at some Four Seasons, they come with, like, if you get, like, the penthouse suite, they'll come with, like, a butler that just is always there. You know, do you want me to shine your shoes? Do you want me to...
In the room?
Yeah. Just constantly sitting there if you ever want a sandwich or water.
Hmm. Your two basic human needs.
You know what I want? I want my own servant with, like, a bear face suit. Like, that would be classy. Like,
there's, like, a bear slave?
Well, just like, hey, look at how fancy I make up my slaves. You know? How baller am I if I can afford to give my slave a fucking bear face?
he's a slave now, too. It's my bear slave.
So has your golf game, you know, steadily improved? I see you brought your own 7-iron today, which is making me a little nervous that, this guy is prepared, you know?
It's pretty fucking serious, and it's called a Cobra Amp. As if, like, a regular Cobra wouldn't, if this Cobra's, like, amped up. It's a, like, Cobra who's, like, had, like, a fucking Red Bull.
Yeah.
Like, some...
Cobra, like, to poppers. The power of fucking four, man.
This Cobra's, like, hanging out, yeah, and, like, racked up. He'll fucking just, like, kind of, like, roaming around.
Yeah. He'll, like, fucking keister a Molly. He won't care.
he's gay, too.
He's in clubs. He's just so blown out all the time.
He's just so blasted. Constantly keistering Mollies.
That's where it puts him.
I knew a guy in New York who was, like, did a good amount of... He was, like, the only person I ever knew who was, like... took, like, a lot of, like, Molly or whatever, or MDMA, you know? MDMA,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He was, like, kind of on it, like, all the time, which is, like, right. So bad for you.
So bad for you.
But, like...
I did it once, and it was fucking great, but I feel like it is one of those things where you should only do once or twice in your life and then never do it again, because, you know, if you do 40 pills, it starts to put holes in your brain, you know? So there is a limit where you're just...
Yeah. Even people who are into it, like, do it at, like... You know, social events or right. Something, or, like, you know, like, not like in the middle of the day, you know, to, like, go to work. You know?
It's not like a prescription pill that you can fucking take every day. Oh, you gotta be so desensitized to that. It's unbelievable.
But
when I took it, I couldn't function. All I could do was fucking dance. That's all I knew. I was like uncontrollably dancing. It's like an amphetamine. It gives you so much energy.
Yeah,
it makes everything just feel great.
I took one time, and I thought I could dance very well.
Yeah. Did you have any glow sticks or anything like that?
No, it was like just, you know, I was just kind of dancing by myself for a while.
You were just kind of fired up.
I was, but it wasn't really. It was more of a rhythm. It was more like I was in touch with the music, you know, like.
Oh, there was music playing?
Yeah.
What was playing?
I don't remember. It was like whatever.
Yeah. But it was like all of a sudden amazing.
Like indie top 40.
Yeah.
Alternative top 40. But it was fucking, yeah, I just remember thinking it was a really good. There's been like a couple times in my life where I thought I was a really good dancer. Like there was a phase like in 2008.
Yeah.
There was like a good 6 months where I'm like, I'm like an excellent dancer. I'm surprised that I didn't know this about myself before. But it was mostly like kind of dancing around on the tips of my toes kind of, and like doing kind of weird like
soft shoe. Maybe you working around Charleston.
I was doing kind of like weird, like, you know, maybe like, you know, convulsing, like bad convulsing Elvis, and like twirling people and stuff, and dipping chicks and stuff, and I thought I was like excellent, you know. But then that came to a screeching halt when I fucking I dropped a girl I was dancing with. I was dipping her outside of
So you were getting like a little too rhythmic, a little too spastic, and then a girl went down.
Yeah, I dropped a girl on some concrete.
And all my friends, what? Well, outside?
Yeah, we were dancing outside on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And
oh dear.
And all our friends kind of gathered around her, and me and my friend just kind of like looked at each other and kind of stepped away and just kind of disappeared.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she go out? Did she go unconscious?
No, she was alright. I mean, she's fine.
She was kind of rolling around in pain, but, you know, I didn't want her to, like, hang around too much longer.
Yeah. She wasn't like, she didn't die.
Right. You just checked her pulse when she was out.
Yeah, I checked her pulse. She's fine.
Did you put, like, a mirror under her nose? Just to make sure
she wasn't a vampire?
See if she had a reflection.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure she wasn't. That was one of the first things, because when someone passes out, they're vulnerable, so it's good to make sure that they're not, like, a supernatural. Like.
Yeah. Before you pick them up. Because if you take a vampire home in the morning, you know, if they have any sun on them, they can start burning. They can start, you know what I mean?
I rub some.
Turn into a bat.
I got some silver, and I kind of, like, which was, you know, it's cheap, going up cheap in as value. Shit at the time.
Yeah.
especially when.
In 2007, silver was $6 an ounce. Like a heavy coin was $6. Now it's 20.
Really?
It went up to 40 in 2008. And I don't know, this information, they were saying it was going to pop again.
They have recently vocalized their opposition to lending America the cash to sustain the U.S. dollar as world reserve currency, because invariably that money goes into weapons that are used in turn to attack these various countries. And so one way that these countries could defeat the arms buildup against them would be to deflate the paper Ponzi scheme that supports the U.S. military. And another thing to mention, the volume of silver on the COMEX and around the world every day is an incredible aberration in terms of the annual production of silver. So you've got the annual production of silver of silver being 1 billion ounces, and you're seeing that turnover 2 or 3 times a month, that amount. And what we find out, and we now know, is that a large percentage of the trading in these futures markets are what are called wash trades. This is a simultaneous buy and sell at a price below the market. So if silver is at 28.5, a simultaneous buy and sell at 26. This will create the illusion that the price is at 26. It'll create a print on the tape at 26, and it'll trigger markets to react, and possibly some more volume will come in. So this is outright manipulation, but it's been covered now by mainstream media. Bloomberg just covered this and said these automated high-frequency wash trades are distorting these markets around the world.
We've been to Vegas together. We recorded a podcast coming out in and out of Vegas. You know, what is your gambling strategy? You've been telling me you've really been getting into craps and dice setting. You know, it seems like you've been studying a lot about dice setting. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I guess there's, you know, this is a random, you know, there's no real guarantee of anything, you know. But, yeah. But.
But.
Okay. If, you know, if you have, like, a little bit more of a technique, then you kind of, you know, can, like, cut down on some of the randomness a little bit, you know, like.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, the dice are just rolling around. They're sort of rolling around. I mean,
well,
yeah,
just
mean
kind of like, you know, tossing them in a fluid motion and trying for them to get hit the same spot all the time so that they're,
you reduce the variables.
Yeah.
Well, also, at the back of a cross of a craps table, there's, like, all those triangles.
Right.
So that, you know, the dice hit them, the triangles kind of randomize their bounce. So how are you going to hit the right triangle the right way every time? Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, you try to not, like, you just try kind of not to hit the triangles, because you can, as long as you hit the back wall, it's okay, you know, like.
Oh, so there's parts of the back wall that don't have the triangles on them.
Yeah, like right by the table, you know.
Oh, so you try to throw it at the back wall and have it roll and hit low on it to avoid the triangles.
Well, you're supposed to hit the back wall, but you just try to hit below the triangle shape, you know.
Okay.
Kind of, and then you.
So do you want, what do you have up? Do you have snake eyes up every time, and then you kind of squiggle them around? You try to have a nice ginger perfect toss every
sometimes
time.
Sometimes I'll do the flying V.
What does that mean?
Which is like two threes, kind of going out, you know.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll do just a 10 and 11, or I mean a 5 and a 6, you know, with the 6 facing the 5, you know.
Why is that?
I don't know, they're just supposed to be in those situations, like, I forget the fucking bullshit. This is interesting.
Is there a book on it that you're reading?
I think I, like, googled some stuff. But it's like where the fucking 4 and 3 are, you know?
Because you want a 7 on the first roll.
Or you don't. These are, like, to avoid 7s.
The flying V is to avoid a 7?
Yes.
What if you want a 7? What do you do?
I think then there's other sets that you try to do. But fucking, you know, it's a crapshoot.
Have you tested this theory? Have you gone to, you know, the tables and...
Well, you know, last time I was in Vegas, I did good. I played, like, I do, like, my thing during the day with the, you know, working and stuff, and then at night I'd go down to the craps table, like, from, like, midnight to, like, 4 a.m. and just play for 4 hours and see the same, like, weird, like, old Asian people and stuff, yeah. And, like old-timey gamblers and stuff every night.
So you were just, they gave you a place at the Station Casino Hotel, and then uh-huh. You just stayed in the complex?
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's kind of, like, off the strip and not, like, the nicest, I mean, it's not, like, the Ballers Casino, but it was pretty cool, because it was, like, you know, they had some nice restaurant. They actually had, like, a really cool, like, New Orleans-style. That's New Orleans.
Oh, wait now.
New Orleans, like, a seafood restaurant. Yeah. Like, with, like, all kinds of, like, gumbos and jambalayas, like, right in the middle of, like, the slots. Mm-hmm. So you could, like, but it was, like, really, like, gourmet shit, like, you know.
Yeah.
There's so much good food in Vegas, like, there's, like.
Oh, my God, yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, and they had $5 craps, which is cool, because you can kind of have fun.
But that's a min bet. And would you just play the pass line, or would you spread it out? Would you... And a lot of sixes and eights, and then, you know, what's your strategy?
You know, there's, like, the classic strategy of you put, like, two bets each on six and eight, and then when one hits, you pull one off each, and then... But you kind of go by feel, like, you know, if there's, like, a guy who's, like, a good shooter, then you kind of,
mm-hmm.
You know...
How were you doing? What?
Kind of have to dip your stick in the table and see what the mojo is at the moment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
So how were you doing? Do you want to, you know,
That time I did good. I mean, over the course of, like, 3 nights, I think I won, like, $600 or something.
Fuck, man.
But, you know, who knows? Next time I play craps, I could, like, lose immediately, you know?
Anyway, yeah, speaking of New Orleans, I keep getting emails about the dorm room that I'm going to go to. I'm going to the University of New Orleans. I actually fly out August 14th. Which is coming up really soon. I have orientation on the 15th and all that shit. So, you know, I have a date coming up. I'm going to perform at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. I'll be at the main room on the 6th at 10 p.m. So check me out August 6th, 10 p.m., Flappers main room. That'll probably be my last stand-up date, you know, before I go out. So, you know.
The end of an era.
The end of an era.
It's like seeing Don Rickles.
Ricky Hollaback.
Ricky Hollaback's last stand.
He boards the flight.
Besides the 7 minutes you're going to do in the in the Seattle's best at the airport.
I'm going to get a, you know, I'm known to pop into Starbucks when I really haven't been booked and do a couple minutes.
You know, this cappuccino reminds me of.
It just gets you with the people, you know, so you don't feel all highfalutin. You got to go back with the people, you
Doesn't
know.
Doesn't steamed milk look a lot like cum? It's my ripple from your stand.
Yeah. A lot of cum jokes. Yeah. A lot of filthy humor. Feeling a little beer buzzed.
The Seattle best hotel and casino. That's the funny thing about Vegas, like, everything's a hotel and casino.
Yeah, like, there's Hooters, has a whole hotel casino. They had an airline for a while, it didn't really work.
It's like Chase Bank, hotel and casino.
Like Nathan's Hot Dog, hotel and casino, and 24-hour eating contest.
Like Flamingo Drive public restroom, hotel and casino. I really wish there was, like, a Starbucks hotel and casino. That'd be pretty dope. But, yeah. Like, everything's Starbucks decor. And, like, there's, like, shitty, like, their featured music playing, you know? And people are on their laptops, like, at the craps table. Like,
there's free Wi-Fi everywhere. Yeah. Or, like, all their fucking games are just, like, Kindles with Wi-Fi on them with, you know, legal gambling on them.
All the dealers have to wear, like, the stuff, the apron and
the
stuff.
The barista. They have to know how to make all the drinks. Yeah. And deal every game.
I guess. Slot machine has, like, a milk steamer. They're just endless jokes. I mean, really, like...
And then they're going around with carts with milk steamers.
Yeah, and they're coming around with coffee drinks and fucking...
Oh, more Starbucks. They're pumpkin.
Oh, the chips are banana cake.
Yeah, and they're making those... They have Perrier and make it juice, because that's also what Starbucks has.
Oh.
And they have, like, little, like, cookies and cakes. And they're making turkey sandwiches now, little breakfast sandwiches.
Someone's
right?
Always taking a long shit in the single stall bathroom.
So you have to wait. When you go to see every dealer, you have to wait behind like black velvet ropes in like a circle.
People are constantly poaching copies of the New York Times, like they're complimentary when they're not.
There's smart water and like. Wicked Easter baskets.
Yeah.
What else is in the Starbucks?
These dried fruit, like his chips.
The poker chips are like coffee mugs that you have to buy and keep every time to like recycle.
There's mad coffee beans everywhere, like on the floor.
It smells like coffee in the casino. They just fucking microwave a croissant when you're like, I want this croissant warm. This guy refuses to be in a parking spot. He's not between the lines, you know? He's not between the lines kind of guy.
What is he doing? He's like smoking a vapor cigarette?
He's probably listening to Sirius XM radio with a vapor weed pen and not being in a parking spot. That's the kind of people you meet in Los Feliz.
You know who would appreciate that kind of behavior, but, like, not stand for it? Cobra Amp. Like, it is Keisha Damali.
Have you seen that video of the guy, like, moving cobras around? There's a guy in India, and there's just, like, a pit of cobras, and he's just, like, just toss them all around. He just grabs them with his hands, moves them around.
Wonder how that guy's golf swing is.
What do you think? Yeah, that's good. Psychology. If he's not afraid to grab cobras, what kind of golf club do you think he has?
A snaking wedge. What a...
And then when he has a sand trap, he's like, deal with sand snakes.
Instead of a pin, it's like a snake who's become erect coming out of the hole.
Oh, no, it went in the water. Is it a water moccasin?
That's snake, water stuff,
snake stuff. Snake stuff. Snake stuff. Oh, boy. He unhinged his jaw on that. Laid an egg, because snakes lay eggs. Warm-blooded, cold-blooded. That's what snakes are. I need more jokes.
Because snakes lay eggs. We cool if there's a sitcom called Snake Wife, where a guy was married to a snake. And, like, it didn't talk or anything, but that was his wife, you know? But he had, like, you know, like, Everybody Loves Raymond-esque problems, like, he wants to go golfing, but his wife's like, you know, like...
Did that happen to you this morning? Do you have a snake wife? Were you like, hey, sweetheart, I'm going golfing?
No.
Was she like...
No, she was like, have fun.
Oh, yeah. You're talking, this is definitely separate, I'm sorry.
This is Everybody Loves Raymond. That's like a quiet version. That's like half of the episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond is Raymond trying. Half the episodes are Raymond trying to go golfing and his wife and family like foiling his plans, and half of them are him trying to have sex and his wife being like, no. I'm gonna fucking have sex.
What a great advertisement for a marriage.
What's the shenanigans in your spirit?
Fucking writer's room. You start Groundlings classes.
Yeah, that's true.
How are they different than UCB? How is the Groundlings different than Upright Citizens Brigade?
UCB is like, you know, game based.
Yeah.
Kind of finding a funny thing. But it's also long, I mean, basically, it's like long form and short form. Groundlings does like short form stuff, you know? But a little bit more scenic short form stuff than, like, not like Whose Line Is It Anyway stuff, but kind of like that a little bit. But yeah, they also do some long form improv, but it's more character based and, like coming in with like big emotions and stuff like that, you know, as opposed to playing a game and doing beats and stuff.
Do you feel like you're doing well because you have all that experience previously, you know?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I guess it's a little strange because you kind of like, you know, like you have your basic, you did like a lot of improv and like performed on like that house team for a while in fucking Queens, but yeah, I guess you tried to kind of like open up my mind a little bit and not be locked into, like, you know, stuff I've learned and stuff and kind of be open to it, you know? But then at the end of the day, you kind of find that it's all kind of the same shit, you know what I mean? Like, even though there's different approaches to stuff, like, you kind of just have to go with your instincts and the basic kind of rules of stuff are the same whether you're doing, you know...
I mean, it's still your brain thinking of jokes, so however you do that, it's still gonna be the same fucking muscle.
It's like golf, you know? It's like you try to, like, convince yourself that there's one thing that you can focus on to do properly, but ultimately you just have to kind of get down to the meaty core of your subconscious and let it do its thing.
I just think it's all about muscle memory. It's all about
golf,
knowing where that ball is, having a swing, and then being like, okay, this one is 136 yards, so I'm going to give it a little more action. This one's 96. I'm going to ease the brakes on the power, you know?
You're a fucking liar. You're not a, you don't come to this game with the mandatory respect.
That's all I've
you honor it. You meditate when you're on the course. Every shot is a fucking a glimpse into your like eminent mortality. You will die.
You will feel like your life is on the line every time.
Golf
every stroke
taps you into the greater sense of self and the infinite nature of humanness, and also it's clear end.
I feel like I...
Golf is dancing with death.
I feel like I have that with Muay Thai. Just talking about dancing with death, I was sparring for the last 2 days, and I have a massive...
Oh, Jesus. Your shins are always so fucking gross, man. How are you going to go? I was going to take you to a cocktail party, but now you're obviously not going to be able to fit into a nice dress.
Because my shins are all bruised.
Yeah.
What am I going to tell the other people that I was into with you with your shins all bruised up, you know?
Yeah. Just can't do it.
Talk about a faux pas.
It's okay to show up to like a benefit, like a black tie benefit, with your male friend in a cocktail dress.
Yeah,
and be like, normal. We're just like two heterosexual men, but this is like, well, you know, we're just doing a thing.
It's formal here, isn't it? So the two options are cocktail dress or suit.
Yeah.
I went this way. What of it?
And then, but when people see your shins all bruised up, they're gonna be like, oh, is it possible that they might be engaging in homosexual activities?
Mm-hmm. Are they fighting?
Are they frogging? Frocking?
Are they just reverse mounting and watching each other's spines on their back, you know, and just doing the lesbian hedgehog scissor?
Are you guys lesbians? That'd be a great story, like Jerry Springer daytime talk show, like two gay men who want to get sex change operations so they can be lesbians together.
Whoa.
That's a good premise for a sitcom. But then one of them's a snake.
I just want both of them to be Native Americans, too. Yeah. So you have that whole, like, we ask the tribal elders, they want us to be lesbians. It's like, I think that would add a bit of spirituality, a little bit of, like, and, like, their both of their spirit animals are lesbian hedgehogs.
Yeah, and plus, like, gay lesbian Native Americans, it's like, peace pipe jokes about dick sucking,
buffalo meat, buffalo jerky.
Jerking each other's buffaloes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yo, it's good right now. That's a good cold open.
Okay. Okay. Not fucking his wife.
Yeah.
Golf. Cobras.
Interior TP day.
Raymond stitching up a wampum. In walks Sacagawea.
Jump cut to Sacagawea's dick. It's being cut off.
In a tribal ceremony, cut to totem pole. Different faces of different winged creatures. Yo, interior, wampum.
That's network.
That's network ready?
That's good for network.
Print it. Print it up.
I can see that as a multi-cam on CBS.
Really? I would go single cam. Half hour drama.
No, the laugh track's gonna really light that up. the laugh track on that would be like fucking like a... Without the laugh track, it would be like a Christmas tree with no tinsel.
Okay, Toadie, let me pitch this by you. Where's the audience going to be sitting? You're in the middle of a fucking field.
Yeah,
all right?
It's called an elaborate set. Well, maybe it's the first sitcom to have a live studio audience on location. You have like a van that turns into portable risers that opens up with a convertible top and goes to...
And are you saying, Toadie, our actors got to nail it the first try every time? One run. We shoot it all the way through. We paint
chronologically. The car is following them throughout. But there's still like six or seven cameras.
So the audience are on vans with stadium seats on the top of the van.
Yeah.
And then we just drive around recklessly following the actors in the action during the Buffalo one.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Hey, look, let's go play some fucking golf. So we played a game of golf. You shut me out. Seven strokes. What is going on? When you first came here, I was the ping pong, the fucking golf champion.
It was a fucking bloodbath, and I've gotten better at ping pong golf every day. How would that work? Like, you play ping pong, but with, like, irons?
It's like you have to get it over the net in the middle of the golf course.
You like tee off
with one bounce.
But you, all right, you're on the golf. You're,
yeah.
You play defense, right? Like you're hitting the ball, and somebody else has ping pong paddles. And they can only hit it while it's in the air. But if they can hit it, they can fuck it up.
So it's like there's like a golf hole at each side, mm-hmm. right? And you just are whacking balls back and forth.
Yeah, like you're playing basketball, but it's with boxing gloves.
All right, so I guess what I'm saying is that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Anthony Guarino. Special golf episode.
It was magical.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm also sorrowful. And I'm also crying.
Regret.
I don't know, man.
All right. Later, guys.